Now, it seems to me that you have bitten off a huge amount when you say that you do a exposé of ambition, artificial intelligence, and you could still find honesty in the digital age. Tell me about how you built this show of yours.
Well, there's a podcast called The Comedian's Comedian, which is a podcast in the UK hosted by Stuart Goldsmith, and he interviews comedians about their careers and their sort of process. I've never been on it. I've never been asked to be on it. So I obviously, with new technology, you don't sort of need to be asked to be on shows. So because you can just clone people's voices.
Oh, yeah.
So I used AI to clone his voice, and now I'm doing the podcast without him. I mean, I could have actually done this interview without you, to be fair.
Yeah.
So
Except you don't know me.
you could have done it without me. And then in terms of the other stuff, obviously, I'm talking about my career, my process, but I'm in control of the questions and the answers. And I suppose the argument that I make in the show is that there isn't a lot of honesty online, because you're always expressing yourself with the knowledge that thousands of people are watching or listening. So you're not being honest. You're thinking about how you're coming across.
Well, which I suppose in a sense is not very different from the past as well. I mean, I remember, because I'm old, and I remember when mobile phones became normalized. And I can remember standing in a elevator and watching how long it took a person to remove the sense of embarrassment, social embarrassments that's normal, by diverting it to their phone. And now people don't realize that's what they're doing. Because I was thinking the other day, there is no public space because of phones.
Totally. Yeah, it's just a totally changed the way we exist. I mean, I grew up in a tiny little village in Bedfordshire, in sort of just north of London. When you grow up in a village, it's a similar. It's not quite as extreme, but everyone knows each other, so your behaviour is different if you obviously grew up in a city. And I think that's the world that we live in now. It's like we're all in a little village, because of how connected we are.
Do you find that by being a stand-up comedian or even using comedy to be able to express some of these ideas that it gets through the door, in people's minds, as it were, in a way that they wouldn't normally appreciate?
I think so. That's the challenge, to articulate how you feel in a creative way. And I don't know. I think basically it does. Whether it sticks with people depends on the individual. And also, people will take different things away from the show. It's not as if it's like I'm sort of hammering that message home for the whole show, but it's certainly part of it. It's certainly something that I believe. I mean, I don't expect that this show is going to change the world, but yeah, maybe it will change some individuals. The world is that way now, and you can afraid that that's where it'll die. I mean, in the creative industry, it's difficult not to be sort of online constantly, and if you don't do that, it's very hard now to have a profile and build a following.
No, I understand what you're saying. It's just that the AI business is a double-edged sword, because once a falsity is engendered and repeated and repeated and repeated, it becomes the truth. Do you find that people are laughing
Totally.
at your jokes?
Yeah, I
Have you how many shows have you done yet, or are you just starting?
Well, I did the show in Edinburgh and London and a few dates around the UK. So before I come to Melbourne, I'd already done this show probably about 40 times. And now in Melbourne, yeah, I've just done just over 2 weeks.
And you've got
So yeah.
another couple of weeks to go, and it's at Acme at the Grendel Lab.
7:45 on Sunday at 6:45, because Sunday everyone does their shows an hour earlier.
So tell me, are you finding that there's a difference in reactions from, say, Edinburgh, London, Melbourne?
There's a difference because I've got an audience that knows me in Edinburgh and London. So when you start the show, there's an element of excitement, because people know me, they know what to expect from my shows a little bit. So in that sense, it makes it easier. So in Melbourne, it's my first time, so an audience is discovering me, which is exciting. You know, it's new. It's not something I've had to go through for a long time. And what it means basically is that, you know, there's some people there, and on a good night, you know, sort of most of them are into it. But there have been some nights where not all the audience, you know, there's people in the room that maybe wouldn't connect with what I'm doing. But I think the show has got a really good narrative. So even if you don't sort of connect with the humour, there is like quite a good, there's a good narrative there. So I think by the end, everybody walks out, you know, largely pretty happy and satisfied.
Okay, Sam, thanks for taking some time to talk to me out of your busy comedian's job during a Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Can you tell me a little bit about We the People? Tell me about it.
It's kind of just me talking about the current state of the world, just kind of politically what we're seeing, and talking about it more to like how we're feeling about all of it rather than kind of the more technical aspect of what's happening, but like why I think it's happening. Speaking to that stuff from a more space of people's emotions and feelings.
Well, that's a perfect thing for comedy to handle, really, isn't it? Because, you know, as a black woman from America, not feeling that much part of your country, but watching it go down the gurgler is a painful experience, or that requires a bit of laughter in order to get you through.
I mean, I don't know if it requires laughter, but laughter helps, you know. But, like, a part of comedy is always to put sugar with the medicine. So, you know, I feel like laughter helps all these things go down.
You've deliberately called it We the People. That's almost a call to arms, isn't it? Or is it really identifying with all of us?
I guess you could look at it either way. I think it's a bit of a double entendre. It's part of it to me that it's just like we the people are collectively going through this, not an individual thing. We the people are going through this right now, currently. But I think you could also look at it as a call to arms. Excuse me one second.
How are you finding Australian audiences with your material?
I mean, I feel like it's pretty universal, you know? I feel like we're kind of all feeling and experiencing the same thing to some degree. I also think the internet just makes the world a smaller place, so it hasn't felt like they can't relate or connect.
You're at the town hall on a big stage, are you, or in one of the side rooms?
Oh, I'm in one of the side rooms. I'm in the cloakroom, so.
Oh, right. Okay, so it's quite close and intimate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. And that's quite nice, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's a cool space. I'm just on one show a day, and I have Mondays off.
And is this the first time you've come to Melbourne?
No, this is my second time. I've done this festival before, like maybe 5 years ago. I came with two of my colleagues in comedy, and we were doing the headliner showcase, which I don't think they used to do, like, with the Americans, and we all do, like, 30 minutes. But I don't really remember it. It was kind of all a blur because I was only here for, like, 5 days. So by the time I got jet-lagged and stuff, it was time to turn around and go home.
It's a long way, isn't it?
Yeah. It looks like it's something wicked, but it's been really nice to be here for an extended period and really take in the culture. This has been a Melanie show in Australia, so if you want to see me, you gotta come to the town hall.
And so tell me, what's the reaction of the audience to? Are you getting lots of laughs? Is it working, your material?
Yeah. I think it's working. It seems to be resonating. People are laughing. It seems like, you know, I'm getting good reception, I would say. It's kind of hard to ask me. Like, I think I'm always kind of, like, judging myself, but I think people are digging it.
How do you, as a, because it's such a big affair, the comedy festival, how do you get booked to be a comedian through in this event?
I don't know. I just, you know, they reached out and said, you know, they'd like me to come do the show. I feel like some of the bookers saw it in Edinburgh, and I just enjoyed it.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, that's right. You're a bit of a hot property, aren't you?
I wouldn't know, brother. I have no idea. I just show up and tell the jokes.
Yeah, but you've won awards, and you've also got a couple of Netflix shows, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I've been a comic for 13 years, and so I've done some things, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, no, I think you could seriously consider yourself to be successful, and it would be worth people's while to buy a ticket and go down to the town hall. What time are you on? Except on Mondays.
I'm on at 7:40 and 6:40 on Sundays, so an hour early on Sundays, 7:40. You know, I've been really enjoying performing this show for the Melbourne audiences, and, I do think it's worth a gander.
G'day.